providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now in the second half of the show, and we're going to be chatting about the markets and about the metals as we are joined by Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, as we always do, we touch base usually at the beginning of the month. We waited a little bit in March, and now we're having you on to get your, again, more longer-term outlook. Just to reiterate, you do like to focus on the longer-term charts, like the monthly chart. So, again, not so much for the short-term moves in some of these markets, more of the long-term perspective here. Doc, let's start off with the precious metals and with gold. This week was a bit of a down week, especially on Tuesday during Powell's press conference or his statements in front of Congress. Well, he reiterated the fact that the Fed's going to keep hiking. The data is telling him that they need to keep on hiking to bring inflation down. The job market is still, it seems like, strong enough for them to keep hiking here. And, well, it really drove home the fact to a lot of traders that, look, don't think that a pause is coming after this next meeting. And the Fed might even make it up to 6% on the Fed funds rate. When it comes to gold, gold dropped down as we're recording this. It's a little over 1,800. We are recording this later in the day on Wednesday. But again, Doc, big picture outlook after a bad February and now a rough start to March. Where does gold go from here?
Well, the Fed and Powell are not a friend of the precious metals right now. In fact, they're not a friend to just about everything, even the conventional market, which I think is set to drop again and challenge its previous lows of last October. And what we needed this month for the bulls to be happy as far as the precious metals and gold was to have a rebound against that big drop we had in February. But right now we're really struggling. And if we drop further here, that means that on the MACD, on the monthly chart, the 12-month is going to dip back under the 26-month. And if we close this month with a 12-month below the 26-month, that is not going to be favorable for gold. And so what we need here is ultimately by the end of the month to close the month higher than the close of February. But right now, it's pretty tenuous for gold. And so that's where we are, Corey, but the bulls need some help this month. But generally, March is the best, one of the best months to buy gold in early April, too, because you often see a move down in March that encourages people to get back into it. But anyway, that's what we're looking right now. So it's pretty precarious, and if we don't get a good move to the end of the month, then we're right back in this trading range on the monthly chart. And we probably will head back down, as I mentioned before, over time and challenge the 50-month moving average on the monthly chart.
Yeah, Doc, that's the way it's looking. And that's to your point. March is seasonally a weak month for the precious metals and usually aligns with that PDAC curse, which we're seeing one more time. But PDAC just wrapped up and we've continued to blow down lower, not just in gold, but in silver and in the mining stocks. And silver and the mining stocks, really the more speculative side of the investment capital, where gold is really more the safe haven side. What is your take technically on silver kind of falling out of bed here and also the mining stocks rolling over pretty hard?
I think silver is at more risk than gold, Shad. And it's not only because the charts look worse and the strength is not as great as the gold monthly chart, but we're probably headed for a recession. We're probably in it because I think we're going to start to see the job picture turn negative here pretty soon. So you're going to have an issue with demand for silver as well, even though they say there's a supply shortage. And so I think that, along with the fact that gold is not going to help silver, that silver is at risk of a deeper move down than gold is.
So, Doc, isn't this concerning? Don't we usually see gold stocks and even silver lead the moves in gold? And if they're looking way worse and their charts are looking worse, we've even heard that they could go back to lows that were from last year, that you can't move that over to gold and not be, I guess, a bit on the downside.
Yeah, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that I think this is going to be a basing year for the precious metals, especially the first half of this year. And way back in 2021, I mentioned that we shouldn't see a major move in these precious metal stocks until the earliest of 2023 and maybe the second half of 2023. I said that was, in fact, I might have even said it back in 2020 when we were grinding lower, which I predicted, and that we wouldn't see a major move in these precious metal stocks, a new bull market, until 2023 and probably the end of the year. And I'll still hold by that. We'll be very fortunate to have a major move in these precious metal stocks this year. I think the odds are much better for 2024. So it's going to be a trading game for a lot of people. Although, since I feel it's going to be a basing year, this will probably be the year that I start to take a bigger position in these stocks. And don't expect, as I've said multiple times, a V-shaped recovery here. It's going to be a gradual recovery for these stocks when we do start to move higher. So there is going to be no V in the movement for the precious metal stocks. It'll be kind of like a bull, a bottoming, and then a slow move up, and then eventually we'll get to the point where we'll have another bull market.
Yeah, Doc, you have been very consistent on that rounded bottom versus the V-shaped bottom. Now, some people did get kind of animated about the lows we saw at the end of last year being the lows, the quote-unquote lows for this particular move in the bear market and possibly the start of a new bull market. But when we'd had you on last time, you said that as far as it looked, you thought that those lows would probably hold in silver and gold and GDX, GDXJ. Now, since then, we've had a bad month of February, and things have even rolled over further in March. Do you still see those as being the low, or are we at risk of making new lower lows?
Well, I've said in the past that we will probably challenge once again the low that we saw in the end of 2022. And I've said that we will go down there, I think, one more time. Hopefully, we'll do it slowly. And we'll start to form a massive inverse head and shoulders on the monthly chart. That's what I'd really like to see. And but we're going to go down there, I think, and challenge that low. And when we get down there, then I'll be happy to say whether I think that's really going to be the final low or whether we even go lower. You can't predict that sort of thing until you see the charts at that point where it approaches that low. Then you can make a pretty good guess on whether we might even take that low back out in 2022. In all, right now, the probabilities is that we move down to challenge that.
Okay. And then I guess we can figure out where it goes. I respect that, Doc. Take your time in making these calls. Right now, we've heard from a few people that we most likely will be at least going down to challenge some of those lows from last year. Doc, how do you carry over the performance of gold compared to the U.S. equity markets? They continue to trade mostly hand-in-hand, especially the stocks. Gold stocks trading hand-in-hand with U.S. markets. That's because, hey, gold stocks, they're still stocks. But do you see any chance of gold diverging from the U.S. equity markets and actually outperforming for a prolonged period of time?
Not anytime soon, Corey. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Here's the other problem for people that hold gold, is that we always hear people talk about the point that you don't get any interest on holding gold. Well, as Powell pushes interest rates up, I tell you, there are some vehicles out there where you're getting some pretty nice returns as far as interest income. And so people aren't going to hardly even look at this sector until they see Powell start to equivocate. And right now he is not equivocating. And so it's going to be a while before that happens. So if the conventional market sells off, I'm afraid that the precious metal market will not divert from that, at least in the short term at all. Down the road, it's possible, but it's going to have to be when he equivocates, and I don't see that happening for a while.
Well, Doc, last year when we were talking to you in September, October, November, you were somewhat encouraged by the action, but you said January will tell the tale. And we have a lot of people we brought on the show that talked about the January effect. And in January, the year started off, the first week and the first month started off with precious metals doing good, cryptocurrencies doing good, the general markets doing good. Almost everything was doing good in January. And if that so goes January, so goes the year. It sounds like the case that's being laid out is that the January effect is going to have no effect and that we're still going to have a rough slog, not just in precious metals, but in the general equities. Is that the way you're seeing things shape up for the year now?
It's starting to look like that, Shad. And the thing that really worries me as far as the conventional market, and I mentioned this before, is when you go to the monthly chart on the MACD, we have not seen the MACD on the monthly chart from a price standpoint get the zero mark or neutral for almost 13 years. You know we're going to do it. And it's not going to be later that it happens. It's going to be earlier than later. We're going to see it this time. And that really bothers me because it's going to happen now, and it's looking really precarious for April if we stay at these levels for the conventional markets until April. And I think the 12-month is ready to turn down further and take the 26 months with it to challenge that zero mark on the MACD. The other thing is the 50-month continues to slowly move up and it's moving into the trading range. And I don't like to see that. And this market has just been levitating a little bit. But if we take out the 50-month again, I think it's going to be the time where we won't see the 50-month moving average in these conventional markets for some time again. I think we continue to move down then.
So is this a scenario where when or if the U.S. markets get down to those lows from last year, we reevaluate if they're going to break, or do you think a break is more likely?
With the conventional markets? Yeah. I think we're going to this year take out the 50-month moving average, and I think I actually think that we're going to break down on the daily charts here. We're about ready to take out the 200-day moving average, which is a real possibility. Then I think we move down to challenge the lows of a year ago or back in October. I think we're going to challenge those. Then whether it holds for a while and moves down further, we'll have to see at that point. I once made a comment that I wouldn't be surprised if this bear market is going to be one of the longest bear markets for conventional markets than we've seen. And with the old adage that the longer the bull market, the longer the following bear market, I think we could be in this thing for over 2 years.
Yeah, Doc, that wouldn't be a surprise after basically a dozen years of one of the longest and highest bull markets on record to see the correction last longer than many of the general market bulls would like to see. But another factor we should definitely talk about is the U.S. dollar. I mean, the U.S. dollar went on a wild ride last year from the low 90s up to 114 and some change, pulled back starting in September, kind of in alignment with when everything else started rising, and it got down to 100.82 before bouncing. Now, a lot of people thought the dollar would keep falling out of bed and go back into the 90s. Other people were in the camp that it would bounce. We've seen the bounce now, but do you expect the dollar to keep moving higher here, or is this because that's a major factor in all markets? And just curious to get your technical outlook on the greenback.
Well, I said earlier that when we had moved down that I expected a rebound. In fact, I was one of the rare people that said that the dollar probably would peak in the end of 2022, which it did. And I mentioned that way back in the spring. And it did, and now it came down, and now I think that we could actually move up a little further. I wouldn't be surprised if we approach 107 or 108, because I mentioned also, you don't just, on a long-term move by an asset class, you don't just drop and keep dropping. Generally, you need to challenge those previous highs. This time, I don't think we do that. But we've had a nice move up, which is, and we may have another month of this, or maybe a couple of months. But I don't think we take out the previous highs. I think we're in the beginnings of a long-term move down for the dollar here. So even though we've had a rebound here and we might for a little bit longer, I think we're going to develop a trading range for the dollar before we get to the point where we really have the dollar compromised in the future. But I don't see the dollar going significantly higher or taking out the previous highs.
Okay. Doc, we've also been talking a lot about the energy sector. So I want to get your thoughts on oil, natural gas, or really anything within the energy sector, maybe even uranium too. Are any of these areas of interest to you?
Not really, Corey. I think just about everything's going to get damaged here. When you look at oil in, on that chart, it's, you know, not doing much right now. And it's very interesting that oil's been trying to stay above its 200-week moving average, and it's going to have to maintain that. There's nothing better that the United States would like to see than oil get crushed here, because, frankly, I think they want to hurt Russia by driving the oil price down, so their revenues are impacted. But right now, it looks at oil is under pressure, and I think it will remain under pressure for a little while. I wouldn't be surprised to see it move down to 60 to 70 bucks a barrel before we have any chance of another significant move up. And the uranium area too, everything's going to get hit if we enter a recession that's deep. I don't see any asset class really outperforming from anything else. Everything's then at risk, and some of these uranium stocks right now are looking a little bit like they could be under pressure. But I don't see them, a lot of the good ones, actually going back to where they were back in 2020 when before the move up. But I don't see them breaking out here for a while either.
Well, Doc, I'm assuming that that carries over to your view on the rest of the commodity sector then, because everybody will wonder, what's your view on Dr. Copper? What about the other base metals? But if you're expecting the recession and contraction to get worse and for demand to get squashed, is that also carrying over into your views of base metals?
Yeah, copper, I just looked at that the other day again, and copper is in a trading range right here. And copper also, I think, is at risk. What you're going to have to see is copper hold its 200-week moving average. If it breaks below that significantly, I think we're going to head back to, you know, areas where it was in 2020. Right now, it's holding its own, but it's got to hold the 200-week moving average. I think it's going to go back down and challenge its lows. It may not quite get there, but its lows of 2022. So I think that'll happen at least, but then we'll see if it holds those levels or tries to move even further down to challenge the lows back in 2020. But I don't see copper going anywhere. All of these things are basically just holding their own, and we'll see if they break down the 200-week moving averages. That's your key to watch.
So, Doc, it sounds like a lot of markets watch these mainstream moving averages and expect more of a choppy range-bound trade for most of this year, with the possibility of lows from last year being tested in a wide range of markets?
Yep, and don't expect any market that I can think of to outperform above everybody else. Either you're going to see some markets get hit even harder, or the rest of them will stay in trading ranges, and they'll be lucky to hold their trading ranges. And so a lot of the traders, if some of these move down, and like Dr. Copper, and bounce off of its lows where it was in 2022, if you buy some copper stocks, then you might get a bounce. But don't expect anything to break out here this year. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Doc, we'll wrap it up here. As always, thanks for taking time with us on the weekend show. And thank you again for sharing your longer-term outlook for a wide range of markets. All very interestingly, sounding like they're going to be trading mostly hand-in-hand this year. Unfortunately, might have some more pressure ahead of us. After that good January, boy oh boy, that positivity, that optimism has sure been turned on its head. Doc, thank you as always for taking time with us every month. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. You can always reach Chad and I through email. We'll post that email on the weekend show posting. We love hearing from each and every one of you, and we really appreciate you tuning in. So everyone, Doc included, hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.